And it switches gears. 36 to 39 is really a portion of Scripture that's more historical. Now, up to this point, the first 35 chapters of Isaiah have been mostly prophetic. And we come to this account, this story, historical account, about Hezekiah and the threatened Assyrian invasion. It's mentioned several times in the Bible. Actually, there's, I think, 11 chapters, in three different places in the Bible about this account. 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, and here in Isaiah 36, 37, 38, and 39. But we try not to spend too much time on it. It's about when the Assyrian army was threatening an invasion of Jerusalem. And really what it amounted to was a big test of faith. And maybe that's why it's recorded so many times in the Bible. I know that every time I read this portion and get into this, you know, it relates to me. And it relates to me currently, updated, about my faith and trusting God with my situation presently. What I'm trusting God with changes. But trusting Him is what He's seeking. It doesn't change. We will read a portion here beginning in verse 1, chapter 36. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Then the king of Assyria sent the Rabshakeh with a great army, Lachish, to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. And he stood by the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field. And Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to him and to meet him. Then Rabshakeh, which is a title, he's an officer representing the Assyrian army, said to them, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? I say you speak of having plans and powerful war, but they are mere words. Now in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, 'We trust in the Lord our God,' is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, 'You shall worship before this altar'? Now therefore I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses, if you are able on your part to put riders on them. How then will you repel one captain of the least of my master's servants and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Have I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it?' The Lord said to me, 'Go up against this land and destroy it.' Then Eliakim, Shebna, Joah said to the Rabshakeh, 'Please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it, and do not speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people who are on the wall.' But the Rabshakeh said, 'Has my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words, and not to the men who sit on the wall, who will eat and drink their own waste with you?' Then the Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice in Hebrew and said, 'Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you, nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present and come out to me, and every one of you eat from his own vine and every one from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain, new wine and bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any one of the gods of the nations delivers its land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath or Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Indeed, have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of these lands have delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But they held their peace and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of Rabshakeh. Let's pray. Lord, we again turn to you individually, personally. We ask, Lord, that you minister to us. Lift us up. Cause us to bear witness to your Spirit, Lord. Have your way in us. Restore and revive and renew and nurture. We look to you, Lord. We look to you in your love, and we call upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Familiar story about a threatened invasion. When Rabshakeh came, he came representing the Assyrian army. And there's a couple twists to it. For the Bible tells us that God raised up Sennacherib, the king of the Assyrian army, as a rod of his anger and punishment. So he was in a place of cleaning house, really for God, against the disobedient. But he came to Jerusalem and met with Hezekiah's representatives. And Hezekiah was a godly king. So his ministry, as it were, the reason God raised him up, didn't apply to Hezekiah nor the people who trusted in God. But we see how he sought to undermine their faith, attack them, assault them. We're going to take a closer look. We've seen how... notes here. The Assyrians threaten Jerusalem, chapter 36. Chapter 37 is God's response. 38, Hezekiah gets an extension of 15 years of his life. He became sick, but he becomes healed from his sickness. 39, with the remaining years of his life, he sinned. The folly or foolishness of Hezekiah is recorded. But we're going to take a closer look in chapter 36 this morning, how the people in Jerusalem, Hezekiah, how their faith was tested. Six times over in chapter 36 is trust or trusting mentioned. Trust and faith are synonymous. For me to trust God is for me to have faith in God. See the girl where at the concert where they were panning the camera and she had, got faith. I liked her t-shirt. But if we got faith, we got trust. To trust him is to believe him. It's about their belief and their trust being tested. It's question. Look at verse 4. As Rabshakeh poses the question, what confidence is this in which you trust? What's your real confidence? What's really in your faith? Look at verse 5. Now, in whom do you trust? Their faith, their trust being questioned. Our faith, our trust, being questioned. Our faith comes under test. God tests our faith for a reason. I think God gives us an illustration here about our faith being tested. You know, what's your faith really about? Who do you really believe in? Who do you really trust in? They're questioned by Rab Shakey, the enemy. We get questioned often by others, by the enemy, through others, and, you know, in ourselves and by ourselves. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to bring every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. Our faith being challenged, our faith being tested, our faith being questioned. It's a constant battle we're in over our soul, in our thoughts. The battleground is our thoughts. They were being questioned, their faith. Who do you really believe in? You know, what are you trusting in? To whom are you believing and trusting? This is psychological warfare. They're being questioned, their faith. Their faith being challenged. Look in verse 7. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away? Hezekiah, as part of his reforms, when he became king, he was a godly king. He tore down the high altars and the high places where the others had worshipped. It was kind of like a muted kind of worship going on. It was kind of had partial truth. But it wasn't in Jerusalem at the temple where God ordained the worship. Hezekiah becoming king, pulled down the altars, you know, brought in some reforms. There was a revival under Hezekiah. So Rab Shakey says, you know, are you going to trust in what Hezekiah has done? He tore down all your places of worship, all the high places. It kind of relates to, you know, your religion, your Christ, you believe in Jesus, is so narrow. You're trying to tell me that only Jesus Christ can take you to heaven? What about all the other religions? Being questioned, being challenged in our faith. Narrow. You got it. He tore all down all the altars. Now you can only worship at the temple. He, in verse 8, not only challenges them, you know, assaulting their faith, questioning their faith, instilling doubt in their thoughts. But notice in verse 8, he says, now therefore I urge you, give pledge to my master. He attacks them with compromise. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, in the middle of 16, he, you know, proposes some kind of pact or a deal. Make peace with me. You know, you don't have to be such a radical believer. Make peace with me. You can maintain sin in your life. You know, the Bible tells us that when the children of Israel were to go into the land, they were to make no pact or treaty with the enemy. But here's Rab Shakey saying, hey, make peace with me. Compromise. Don't be sold out. You know, don't take Christianity so seriously. Look around you. Look how people live. People don't take Christianity so seriously. Their faith being tested, faith being questioned, faith being challenged to compromise. Our faith gets interfered. The enemy attacks us, our flesh, and our life. Tries to interfere with true faith. Notice in verse 15, nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. Don't trust in the Lord all the way. Don't go all the way. In verse 18, beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying the Lord will deliver us. See, Hezekiah was a godly man. He brought forth revival and reforms. And he's trying to disassociate yourself from that godly man. Oh, don't listen to Hezekiah. Don't come under his persuasion. He's misguiding you. He's too radical. But the truth is, you know, the enemy's attack in our assaults, in our mind, in the battleground of our thoughts. You know, disassociate yourself from the godly. Don't fellowship with the godly. It's one of the enemy's biggest tactics. Cut yourself off. Separate yourself from Hezekiah, from his influence, from his faith, from the strength of his faith. Tactics. Look in verse 12, how the enemy tried to instill fear. At the end of verse 12, who will eat and drink their own waste with you? If you don't make a pact, if you don't surrender, if you don't go like the world goes, if you don't lay down your faith and compromise a little bit, If you don't get off this narrow road, it's going to be to your own ruin. Trying to instill fear in them, trying to attack, question, challenge, interfere, interrupt their faith, as the enemy does to us through others, through our own flesh. We question our faith. There's a battle going on for our soul. But it's continuing, ongoing. Here in Isaiah, he records their response. It was a proper response. I'm familiar with the story. In verse 21, the Bible tells us that they held their peace. They answered him not a word. They didn't respond. They were quiet. The Bible says that because the king, Hezekiah, commanded them not to answer a word. They held their peace. They didn't respond in their flesh. They were quiet. Insulted, questioned, attacked, trying to be interfered with, interrupted. The attack escalating. They didn't answer a word. They held their peace. They held their line. That's a difficulty for me. You know, when things are, you know, heightened. You know, if I'm in an argument or something's going on. You know, I'm prone to respond in my flesh when I'm in my flesh. You got to be in the Spirit to respond in the Spirit. They held their peace because Hezekiah told them, you know, keep quiet. Don't answer him a word. But, you know, well, that's, you know, because Hezekiah told them. They were just obeying Hezekiah's word. But Jesus told us. You know, he told, and Peter, not long ago, you covered how, you know, Jesus' behavior, his suffering, was an example for us. Who, when he reviled, didn't revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Didn't open his mouth. Held his peace. Remained in the Spirit. Didn't respond in the flesh. Proper response. Keep your flesh in check. By holding their peace, they held the line. They're in a war. The enemy's attacking their flesh. They held their peace. They maintained the Spirit. They held the line. The enemy didn't gain leverage, didn't gain ground. So they held their peace. They were quiet. They kept their flesh in subjection. And then notice in verse 1, chapter 37, the right response. So it was when they brought the word to King Hezekiah that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Proper response. Held their peace, went to church. You know, going to church is a proper response. To maintain fellowship with other believers. You know, Jesus told us if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we confess our sins, you know, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and we have fellowship with one another, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It's an ongoing maintenance program. Fellowship. He humbled himself. He took the right attitude. He went into the temple. He humbled himself. And he sought a word from God. He told his servants, go get Isaiah. Seeking God's word. Seeking a word from God. Proper response. Facing an overwhelming situation, a test for his faith. He didn't respond, held their peace. But then they sought God's word. What are you doing here, Lord? What are you trying to say? Bringing it to the Lord. Seeking Isaiah. Go get the prophet. The Bible tells us, seeking God's word in church. Proper response. Corporate worship. Again, there's something, you know, some people say, I don't have to go to church to worship God. You don't. But there's something special, again, about worshiping God in a corporate setting. Well, at that concert the other night, man, I was really blessed. You know, the parts of the true worship, you know, so many, multiplied, compounded. You know, it's one thing, worship God at home by yourself with earphones on, with an iPod. But then when you're with others, several others, you know, there's something special that takes place. He went to church. He humbled himself. He sought God's word. Involved himself the temple services, God's prescribed worship. Then the Bible tells us in verse 14, the end of verse 14, that in chapter 37, that he, you know, spread it out before the Lord, what the enemy was saying. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, he opened up the truth before the Lord. In church, maybe through worship, we can do that. But the truth is, he prayed. He brought to the Lord the truth, what's going on. The assaults, the attack, the struggle. You know, the Lord allowed King Sennacherib of the Assyrians. The Bible tells us in Isaiah's prophecy, I'm going to raise him up as a rod of my anger. It's kind of a difficulty thing. Things happen in our life, you know, that don't make sense. Doesn't make sense that the way things are going, and because it doesn't make sense, it's hard for me to accept. Even though I know the spiritual response is for me to hold my peace, trust God with my whole heart, and turn it over to the Lord. Because it didn't make sense because God raised him up to be a rod of his anger. And things happen in our life, circumstances happen, surround us, where God is using a specific thing to shape us, to get to us. And we don't identify it, it doesn't make sense, though we don't subject ourselves to it. But the truth is, he did. He opened it up before the Lord. You know, sometimes God will finger something in our hearts, a pain, a hurt, something that took place in our life, in our childhood, years ago. You know, a natural thing to do when you get hurt, build walls around your heart. And you get, you know, accustomed to the new you with walls around your heart. I'm not going to get hurt again. And God will create situation surrounding us and place his finger on that hurt. And he's requesting our response to open up before the Lord. That's what Hezekiah did. He opened it up before the Lord. Lord, you see what they're saying? This isn't right. Threatening us, challenging our faith. All I'm doing, trying to do, is believe your word. I mean, if we're not responding in our flesh, if we're willing to open our heart, open it up before him, take it to the Lord, go to church, humble ourselves and seek him, seek his word and truth. Allow him to use Sennacherib to do what he wants to do in our heart. It's not comfortable for him to deal with pains and hurts from the past. Or we might be in a relationship that's causing pain. For him to minister, you know, put his finger on, surfacing pain in our hearts. But he does. It's part of him dealing with us, growing us, using circumstances and others around us to deal with hurt, pain, our heart, trying to cause us, raise us, grow us with the right response, to be like him, follow him, not to respond in our flesh, to keep silent, to allow his work. The Bible tells us that, you know, he describing this problem. Look at the end of verse 3, chapter 37. For the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. Sometimes things hurt so much, it takes your strength away. We're going through something. Doesn't make sense. And with my eyes, I'm looking at, hey, wait a minute, King Sennacherib was raised up. It's in the Bible. And he's using him as a rod of anger. Things are happening and they seem to be flowing around, and yet it doesn't make sense in my mind. And then King Hezekiah is describing the extent of this problem, the test of his faith. It hurts. It's so hard. It's like being in that point of transition, getting ready to deliver a baby, but not having the strength to do it. Remaining in that last contraction. Your head's in a blender. Things are out of hand. But Hezekiah still brings his pain and the intensity of this attack against his faith to the Lord. Lord, I got no strength in me. Opens it up. It hurts, the emotions. The Bible tells us to cast our care upon him. Things happen. In a way, their confidentiality was violated. you know, they said, hey, when Sennacherib sent Rabshakeh, the official, he came to, you know, meet with representatives of the Israeli army, really to demand a surrender, a complete surrender to King Sennacherib. You don't have a chance. We outnumber you. We're stronger than you. We demand your surrender. And then he tried to undermine their authority, cut them off, attack their faith, challenge and everything. But the truth is, he came, you know, rules of war, they do that. And King Hezekiah sent out three, Shebna and the other two, the scribe and the recorder, and they came out to meet him there, the aqueduct, to discuss the terms of their surrender. They didn't surrender. But he said, part of the three from the envoy from Hezekiah says, hey, don't speak in Hebrew. This is a private conversation. It's confidential. Rules of war. It's kind of like a courteous thing. I will not broadcast it publicly. We'll make it in Hebrew. That could cause pain. You know, things violating your trust, people in the past. You entrust it. Then they violate your trust. But given the odds and the attack and the challenge and the deception, they brought the problem to the Lord, and God moves. We know the story. In chapter 37, look in verse 21. The end. Because you have prayed to me, God says, he likes that. It's not just mouthing to him. I can say, Lord, I give you this situation, but then turn around and take it in my own hands. You know, as if I'm giving it to the Lord. I'm not giving it to the Lord. I'm mouthing a word to the Lord. Lord, take my heart. But really, my heart's my own. I can mouth words, but God's saying, you meant them. You held your peace. You held the line. You didn't respond in your flesh. You truly sought me. You went to church. You humbled yourself. You're seeking God. In truth and sincerity, with the hurt that's overwhelmingly taking your strength away, you prayed. And that's why I'm going to answer. We read in Peter, you know, Peter quoted Psalms, you know, because you follow as a Christian, follow the way of good. The Lord says, my ears are open to you. My eyes are upon you. But if you oppose me, my whole face will be against you. But they trusted him because you handed it over through prayer. You know, oftentimes you don't have a handle on things. This is one of them times. The problem was so strong, it was like took their strength away. Been in that place? I felt that before. It takes your strength away. You don't have a handle. What do you do? If you don't have a handle on a situation in your life and you're in so much pain you can't face it and you can't really spiritually sort it out, what do? Seek a hand. Seek him. That's what they did. They opened it up before the Lord. They sought God's hand. They didn't take it into their own hand. They honestly gave it to the Lord, opened it up to the Lord, seeking a word from God. Go get Isaiah. We got to seek the Lord. What is he trying to say? And God moves. Because you have prayed, handed it over, you get my hand. In verse 17, chapter 37, the Bible says, incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. You know, they're crying out to the Lord. Really giving it to the Lord. Taking it to the Lord. And then verse 35, notice chapter 37. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. God answers. Because you prayed, you handed it over, I'm going to give you my hand. Not just give you my hand, I'm going to save you, I'm going to deliver you. And he gives not only the reason, you know, that you prayed, that's necessary, that we have faith and trust, but basis upon, for my own sake. It's not because of you, it's not for your sake, not because you're so good and I love you so much. It's because of David's sake. It's the covenant, the agreement I have with David. It's because of Jesus' sake. It's because Jesus' name is on the line. He said, it's for my own sake. The truth's sake. I'll deliver you, I'll save you. Even though, you know, there may be a difficulty factor, even though there might be pain so strong, takes your strength away, even though we're questioned, our faith is questioned, it's good that our faith gets questioned. God allows it for a reason. He fingers things in our heart. He surrounds. And you know, so often there's a repetition. You ever notice that? There's a repetition in my behavior. And the reason it's a repetition in my behavior is because it's like I'm not getting past what he's trying to tell me. I'm responding over and over again in the flesh rather than handing it over. I have problems with this. God moving because they handed it over. And our faith will be tested. It'll be challenged. It'll be questioned. The authority will be undermined. The enemy, through others, through our flesh, will come against our faith. Try to. It's too narrow. You're too serious. What has it got? The devil has a plan for your life. The Bible tells us that Rab Shake, he said, listen, you make a deal with me, and you guys can plant here. We'll leave you alone. We're not even going to attack you. You can stay here, and you can plant, and then after a couple of years, we'll take you over to Assyria in captivity. Captivity's not too bad. There's plan B. You can make a deal. Sounds easier. But they stood, and their faith was tested, and they responded properly. God does this in our life on purpose for a reason. We're to beware of persuasions around us, allurements that come against and oppose God's word. Compromise. To beware of compromise. To maintain our walk on the narrow road. Lord, help us. Give us balance. Give us strength. Cause us to hear what you're saying. Help us hand it over to you, Lord, in truth, our heart, to entrust you. See, this whole chapter is about trust. Do I trust you in my heart? Do I trust you in my life? In truth, if I trust you, I'll allow your plan and your way. I'm not going to fight it. If I trust you, hand it over, even though it doesn't make sense. We're to open it up before him, that he can deal with me, us, openly. Sure, I'm yours, Lord. I don't know what you're doing. Doesn't make sense. You have your way. Hand it over. The trust is to entrust. Trust our life, our soul, our heart. That's to have faith in all truth. That's the heart of having faith in Jesus Christ, is trusting him with our life. Let's stand. Let's pray. This morning, I know we had communion last Sunday. It's just kind of a odd communion. You're welcome to join me in having communion. But for the community's sake, let's pray. Lord, we look to you. And you know our hearts and our frailties and our shortcomings and our fears and our hurts and our pains and our understanding when things don't make sense and how we fight you and how unyielding we are when things don't make sense. And yet, Lord, we know and see you desire for us to trust you, to hold our peace, to hold the line, to not respond in the flesh, to hand it over, to seek your hand, to seek your word. And Lord, we do ask you minister your touch, your deliverance, your salvation, because you prayed to me, because we hand it over. We experience God's movement. It's the promise that you give us. Do it, Lord. Cause us to respond rightly In Jesus' name, amen.
You can be seated.